April 30, 2004. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Dragonfly.
Signs of golden straw.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Listenship, live in my pad, Pedro, with a song called Dragonfly. And I have a member of Listenship, Love Grotto, here on Pleasure Point with us today, Miss Heather Lockey.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. Brother Matt behind her.
Welcome.
We started off the show with John Coltrane, Wise One off Crescent. Me and Brother Matt just came back from a movie, the Rodney Bingenheimer, Mayor of Sunset Strip.
Yeah, Pedro High School screening.
I hadn't been in Pedro High in maybe...
Many moons.
Maybe, yeah, almost 30 years. That's a long time. I told Brother Matt this story once. I think it was 11th grade or something, and I was driving with some buddies, smoking all this Motown stuff. They conked out, and I was getting tired. So I don't know why. I mean, I was a younger man, and stronger stuff was working on my senses. And for some reason, I went and parked right up in front of that auditorium, right on the grass under the tree, and conked there. And I mean, this is 1974 or something, so not as heavy with the police. But I mean, I can't believe it. I just conked right there. And so it was a little stroll down memory lane for me. Heather, that was a song that you recorded. You recorded a bunch of songs for me to learn.
Yeah.
I did the first batch with them, maybe 8 songs last summer. But when they came to show me these, I had just gone over the handlebars on my bike, and I was crippled. Little wing. So I wasn't able to help them with this. But you guys... I guess it was these 4 songs plus a mate for an album, right?
Yeah, we haven't gotten the album done yet. So we keep writing more songs and think, well, we'll just put this one on the record. And I don't know, it just keeps getting longer and longer. So we put a moratorium on writing until it's done. No more songs.
Any newer songs being writ will have to wait for the next album.
Yeah, we're going to do some EPs maybe. Like, we'll choose the good ones from this recording. We'll put your stuff on it for sure. And then we'll
remember
have some
that purple
EPs.
Bass I used?
Yeah.
I don't have it now.
What happened?
Well, the guy took it back.
Oh, really?
Well, I gave it back to him. I used it on a gig in San Francisco. It was one of the worst gigs ever. My guys begged me to give it back. They didn't like the sound. It's too modern sounding.
Who are you playing with?
My organ trio with Pete and Jer.
Oh,
and it was one of these gigs that we were doing an arena tour with Chili Peppers. And in between, Flea said, go get some gigs and pads. So we play this place called Café du Nord.
Oh, yeah. I like Café du Nord. That's a good place.
Heavy stairs to schlep the gear, though.
They gave me some really heavy cold medicine ones.
Oh,
save
well,
me.
The Hammond B3 is very heavy, and lugging that thing down and up the stairs was no... luckily, Pete and Jer are longshoremen and younger men than I am.
So you don't have that purple bass?
No, he's got it up there in Spokane.
Bass.
The guy who made it is...
I love the inlay on it.
Oh, yeah, very pretty and everything, but yeah. The sound, just too modern, too much like piano. My guys couldn't hear it. The voice in it
was good for our record. I liked it a lot.
I was just, oh yeah, but you guys have a lot more room. Listenership, for you that don't know, though I've played a few of your songs on my show before, it's just a fiddle, acoustic guitar, and Michael Whitmore plays guitar or
vibes or whatever,
brushes on a snare. So there's a lot of room. It's not like aggressive power trio thing as much.
Although it keeps getting more and more complicated with the stuff that we're doing now. We keep kind of... It's really hard to keep things simple, you know, especially if you've got millions of tracks you can use.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Look at that. It looks like one of them Hieronymus Bosch paintings.
Yeah.
What I was speaking of more was room for the sound of the bass. To be heard. Mm-hmm. My guys couldn't hear me. They had so much bottom end and real snappy high, and the head didn't really have a mid-range.
Oh, I see.
So the way it is with the organ, you know, having a lot of low end and stuff, they were like I said, it was one of the worst gigs we ever did. And part of it was because they just couldn't take any lead from me. And they were just so used to the bases made of Philippine mahogany. I got another one, a blue one that I'm getting together right now, maybe a couple years newer than this red one. But the red one, the action is getting so high. Like, that's why I use that purple one with you guys, because I had all these things up on the neck. Up means closer to the bridge. And the action, you know, I could be a bowman in Robin Hood's Band of Merry Men.
Thing. So does that mean your neck's just moving, like it's curving?
All necks do. That's why you have a truss rod to adjust. But I can't adjust the truss rod because when it was, somebody was, quote, helping, unquote, me and dropped it and snapped the neck off. So he said, oh, I'll get it fixed. And he had a boatwright friend of his do it. But boatwrights don't know about truss rods. So this guy marine epoxied over the truss rod nut. So you can't adjust it. So wood instruments are going to change because humidity is changing.
Yeah.
So the bow, I can't get. You got to have some bow or the frets will buzz, but I can't.
Yeah, you don't want it to be too high.
So what happened was this cat found me on the internet, a guy from Pittsburgh, and he sent me a neck from maybe early 60s EVO. And so what I'm going to try to do is graft the new neck onto this body, you know, the red one. Little Gibson, because Gibsons, they're not like Fenders where the necks are bolted on, they're glued on. So we're going to have to, you know, the thing's 40 years old, so we're going to have to use steam and stuff and get the old neck off and then graft on the new neck.
That's so weird for me. When you have a problem like that on the viola, you just file the bridge down and lowers the action of the strings.
Ah.
Because the neck's so short, we don't have to worry about the bowing kind of.
Yeah. Well, a bass guitar has about 400 pounds. A four-string has about 400 pounds
of
torque on it there. So, especially these little guys, you know, they're short scales and kind of stressed. So, I got another bass coming. It's supposed to come to me next Friday. This guy named Frank in Connecticut had a bass made for me.
Wow.
Some guy up in Northern California. Named Frank, made me a bass. It's sort of like a fashioned after a Fender Jazz, but with a short scale neck. So we'll see how that is. Yeah, I've got a few basses that people have made me.
You the purple one, huh?
Someone made me the purple one. Someone made me one that looked like my old Telecaster bass. Tim Thalen did. Darren Huff. Is it Darren Huff? No. Yeah, I think it was. Darren Huff made the one, the purple one, Spokane. And it is a pretty bass.
Yeah, I like
part of it is these exotic woods. The woods they make these things out of nowadays. High-tech sounds. They sound like pianos. Kind of. It's hard to get a mid-range voicing out of them. That's more suitable to my kind of Jack Bruce type of thing. And my guys are just so used to that, playing along with that, that, like I said, it was hard
they
for them to take
it.
Any lead off me. And so it was a rudderless ship.
Well, I played their acoustic. I don't know what Café du Nord is like for an electric band.
Yeah,
it was
kind
of small.
It's like a cabaret kind of thing, a lot of curtains,
we
so it's kind of a dead sounding room. But, hey, a poor carpenter blames his tools. It was a crap gig, though. Man, I felt so bummed out. You can read about it in the diary. So, on the Hoot page, we won. You picked this next song here, Michael Whitmore. You want to tell us something about it before we play?
It's a cover. I don't know who did the original. I know the song, but I don't know the original. I've heard it before, but I don't know who did it. But I like his cover of it. He's got kind of a guest. Usually he sings by himself, but he's got this girl singing with him. It's a really cool kind of duet.
Yeah, Michael's an excellent classical guitarist. He's
pretty good on the vibes, too. He didn't really play vibes before he started playing with us. We just wanted a vibraphone player.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked him if he'd do it, and he's like, "Well, you know, I can't play."
So he had to learn it.
But he had the vibraphone, so you know, we figured it'd be okay.
Yeah, he's an excellent musician.
He's
been around
really
in the LA scene a long time.
Yeah, he doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
Well, we're going to give him some attention right now on Watt from Pedro's show.
Door.
Do I have to explain this? This is not dope. All right. You know what it is.
What is it?
An Indian cigarette called a Cher BD. The lepers roll them for... for nothing. Just to feel good doing something, you know, while you're... A leper roll, that one did a lousy job. And the guy who made this lighter must have been another leper. Trouble. I had my camera and took the shot through the shop window. And a rather tall, ugly lady, neck bent forward, ran out of the shop. "What are you doing?" she asked. "What did you photograph?" "I photographed the naked mannequin," I told her. "I'd rather you didn't take any more photos," she said. "All right," I said, and I walked down the street with my camera, with her staring after me. I felt guilty and upset. Upset, even though I had done nothing really improper. It usually happened to me at least once a day. I turned, dropped to one knee, focused, and photographed her. She waved her arms and screamed, and I shot her again. The trouble with these people is that their cities have never been bombed and their mothers have never been told to shut up. How did I ever get in a fix like this, looking at all these faces? You know, if you think I look bad to you... Competition. We live by the harbor now, and at night the ships often blow their foghorns. She is a light sleeper. She will leap up, sitting straight up in bed. "Damn! What is it? What is it? I thought you farted." "Not that time, dear." She is a good child. Living with me has dysfunctioned her nerves. Actually, I like to save up my farts for the bathtub. Those gray bubbles waft up a magic stench. Farting is much like fucking. You can't do it all the time. But when you do, there oftentimes comes a feeling of proudness. As if your artistry in the act were a rare and precious thing. I fart more than I fuck. And I fart better than I fuck. And I am pleased to be mistaken for a foghorn in the middle of the night.
What from Pedro Show? That was Mr. Charles Bukowski with an excerpt from his album Hostage. Did you ever see that record, Heather?
I think so.
He's on stage with a refrigerator full of beer. It was done at the Sweetwater.
Redondo, huh?
I think 1980. Yeah, and the gig went on as long as he had beer. When he finished up the refrigerator worth, the gig was over. Before that, we had Marsha Ball with The Facts of Life, and we started with Michael Whitmore with Laudanum and Liquor, which is his variation of Leather and Lace. You pick something here by a band called Deerhoof. You want to tell us about that?
I don't know anything about Deer Hoof. I have a couple of CDs at home, and they're really amazing. I think they have like this Japanese singer.
Yeah, a little bass player. I saw them at the Altamara's parties.
They're really, really good. They're one of my favorite bands, but I don't know anything about them.
In the hold where we did. Hmm. One stage was in the boat in the Queen Mary itself, and one was outside. So I was outside with the Stooges, but with George Hurley, I was in the stern part, a few decks down, and Deer Hoof.
Yeah,
maybe two bands before us. The band before us was a guy named John Wesley Harden.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote me an email the next day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sweet guy. He does this trippy version of Like a Prayer.
Yeah, like the folk thing going, right?
Yeah. He also does a good cover of Rocky Erickson, If You Have Ghosts.
Oh,
he's a trippy guy. He's an Englishman, but I think he lives in Texas. If I'm not mistaken. But he's a cool cat. So, Deer Hoof, you don't know him, but you like their CDs.
I like them.
Where are they? They're up from up north?
They might be from
up north. I know they tour here
north.
A lot.
Yeah. I don't think they're from Japan.
They might not be.
But I think they have a Japanese singer, so they sound
Yeah, she's really little
really
and plays bass.
And really...
Yeah, trippy drummer. He only had one cymbal. He had a Kano set, maybe three drums, one cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a hi-hat, I don't think. It's pretty Kano.
Mm-hmm.
I dug him, and they had angular kind of Sonic Youth stuff, a lot of. But what record is this from, a compilation?
It's from my friend Charles, who lives in New York, and he does this Christmas compilation every year under the guise of Hadley Flinger, and he's done two compilations so far, and they're really, really funny. They're amazing. But he doesn't number the fucking tracks on the CD, so...
Yeah,
Charles,
the CD
you gotta number your tracks on the next compilation.
Yeah, I was just complaining about that. These people being artistic with their CD packaging, and that, like, they never write the songs on the CD themselves, or if they write the songs on the...
He does
booklets,
like his own art. He got these amazing cave people for this last one. And picture on the back is this.
They're all girls.
Cute little cave girl with her big wood stick.
Club,
yeah.
Looks plastic.
Yeah, he's
kind of a Flintstones. Is this him?
No, that's Marco. That's our friend from Italy.
Okay.
He's another artist.
You can see
That's Charles in
the photographer. Ah.
Yeah.
Subliminal way of easing himself. Yeah. And sort of like this movie, you could tell the guy who made this Rodney movie puts himself in it and his band and his
Charles is
self-promotion.
He's very subtle.
Okay, so then here we go with some Deer Hoof on the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. something out for the changes out of it. Somebody had the bright idea to name something Ann Morgan. I went down to the first time. Simple as a space land or something. But it was paper. And I saw Ann Morgan. I didn't know what that was. You know? I wrote the song, but they said it was a group. It was a trip to me. It was a long time. Anyway, speaking of trips.
Show. That was Arthur Lee in Love live. That was Arthur's big return gig after he got out of jail last year.
Oh, yeah.
And a song called Morgan. Before that, Bob Mould off his Modulate record, Come On Strong, Bob with synthesizers. And we started with the Eyebright Burglar. Bugler, sorry. The Eyebright Bugler by Deerhoof. Now, Heather is playing with Arthur Lee. Tell us about that song. You like that, right? You didn't know who they were
song.
As a kid? and you got asked to do this gig, and you didn't know about Arthur Lee, but when they played the music.
Yeah, I put on the record that they sent me, and I was like, I totally know this guy. He was, I didn't hear a lot of rock and roll when I was a kid, and we mostly had classical or easy listening hits in my household, and so I managed to hear that song, like, at the grocery store or gas station or wherever we were in public, and so that was my orientation point.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm playing with
So what was it like when you first played with those guys? You came
really
in as
fun.
A replacement, right, for somebody?
I guess not. Oh, yeah. My friend Julie, who's a violin player in Texas Mafia and in Waco, she was going on tour with Waco. Therefore, she couldn't do the Arthur Lee gig. She had been hired to do the violin. So she called me and asked me to do a viola fill-in for her, and then they ended up liking the viola as well as the violin, so we both ended up playing with...
That's what I saw at the House of Booze.
Yeah.
Cattie Bone.
Yeah. We're doing a benefit for Arthur's friend on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Where is it? It's at the Knitting Factory for his friend Scotty, who's sick for... Somehow he's sick, so we're doing this big benefit for him.
Oh, that's cool.
So Arthur Lee, Knitting Factory, Wednesday.
What's it like playing with Arthur Lee?
It's fun. They're all really nice people.
He's much more together now, right?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know what he was like before. I mean, I knew he shot guns off of...
One time me and Raymond went to a gig where he didn't get one song out. Somebody gave him mushrooms and
he
just was laughing. This is at the... Coconut Teaser.
Finally,
the drummer stood up and threw his sticks at him and ran off the stage. The drummer was the guy who booked the club. So
Mike Randall, who plays guitar with him, says he's been fired like 6 or 7 times.
By
Arthur.
Lemonade.
Yeah.
Guys. Yeah, because that's the core of the band, the rock part.
Yeah, but Arthur's always been really cool to deal with. I mean, you can tell when you should stay out of his way.
Well, he was helping Arthur tune. Arthur was having a time tuning at that gig.
We played at the Great American Music Hall recently,
San Francisco,
maybe a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, and the string section, there's like, we play the album and then we leave the stage, and there's like 5 or 6 or 8 songs depending on how long he plays that we don't play, so we went downstairs and we were just hanging out in one of the little dressing rooms underneath, and the Great American Music Hall is really confusing, and all of a sudden we heard our cue coming from above, and we're like, oh no, we have to be up there playing. So we all had our shoes off, and we had high heels on, and whatever. So it's like this line of women, like, running down these hallways, like, click, 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 trying to find the entrance to the stage, and we couldn't find it.
Spinal Tap.
And it was so Spinal Tap.
Have you heard of this band called The Darkness? There's a band out of England, and they kind of do a Spinal Tap.
Oh yeah,
pretty funny.
Yeah, he could have fired us after that show, and he was having a good night, so I don't think he even really cared that we snuck on stage halfway through the song. But
oh, so you didn't make the head?
No,
the
we didn't make the. No. We heard the song playing, and then we had to find the stage.
Oh, okay.
And I just remember
all these ladies'
feet in front of me, like with high heels. Some people were barefoot because we really were not ready to go on stage, and it was just a total disaster. But actually, we didn't. We made our cue. We just didn't make the beginning of the song. So we didn't play till like halfway through.
You didn't make your appearance.
Right.
That's okay. Does he have another tour coming?
I keep hearing various things. It's possible.
Yeah.
I guess
Love was a huge band in L.A. during the 60s.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, it was great. And they had some trippy singles that made it on AM radio, like 7 and 7 is... Mm. For no backbeat, mm-hmm. I mean, for a pop song. It's really... You guys do that song, right?
I don't with them.
The band.
But I think they're...
That's a great song.
Little Black Book.
Little Red Book. That's a great tune.
Yeah, they're... It's really fun doing that.
Red Telephone, too. Mm-hmm. He's got two Red songs. Yeah, he's quite a individual.
He's a character. We got to record with him, too, in the studio. And
what'd you guys do?
We did... What's this song?
An album?
Rainbow in the Sun. That was just like a demo song.
Oh, okay.
But Arthur communicating with people is really an interesting experience, and trying to understand what he's saying is...
Interpret?
it's a little challenging sometimes. So we all the strings were like in front of the mics, and he was convinced that I knew what he was talking about. He'd be like, "Okay, Heather, just you know, do this and this here, okay? You know where I'm talking about here, right? You got it, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, Arthur."
So
I look
honest.
At the string players, and I'm like, "I have no idea what he's talking about." So we'd get Rusty, one of the Baby Lemonade guys, to come in and interpret for us, and he's like, "Okay, hang on a second." He'd run and he'd talk to Arthur, and then he'd come back. He's like, "Okay, here's what he wants." So then we'd do it, and it was fine. And so then all the string players left to go get a drink, and we took Rusty with us. But we didn't realize that the horn players would probably need him as like an interpreter for Arthur speak. So the horn players, I guess, like
were lost.
Really difficult time in the studio because
well,
like,
that
kidnapped the interpreter.
Realizing the vision. It's half
it
the war.
Fun.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour of the Watt Pedro Show, April 30, 2004 edition. We got stuff from your label next. And then the Brother Matt Spin Cycle. Yeah, yet another.
With the new rig.
With the new rig. So hang tight. April 30, 2004. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Guest in the studio with Brother Matt, myself, is Heather Lockey from faraway Echo Park. How far is it from Pedro?
Pretty far.
25, 26 miles?
You're talking about miles or minutes?
Well, that depends on the time of the day. Sometimes hour and a half.
I don't know how many miles it is.
It's about 26 miles.
All roads lead to
Pedro. Yeah, we know because we have to make the hike.
Yeah.
You probably don't come down to Pedro too much.
Awfully pretty.
One time you rode the pedaling route.
Yeah, yeah. That's around here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it, remember?
Yeah.
There's Land's End. See, Pacific End's here.
Yeah,
we call this Sunken City.
Over here's the big hill that you went down and I...
Well, further down, Royal Palms.
There.
Yeah, you didn't. She wouldn't
didn't go down
anymore.
That one.
Royal Palms.
No.
Well, going down ain't so hard. I'll tell you, I got changed up the route because the sun rises so far in the east now, so I go to the fireboat house first. And I have to come up Bluff. That's cardiac. I mean, that angle's so intense. If you pause, you'll fall over.
Yeah.
Gotta just keep going.
Do you ever have to walk it up?
No.
Wow.
Just gear down low, but you gotta keep pressure on because you'll just tip over. The angle's so intense.
Wow.
But you know... Since last, almost now a year, I've been paddling. So you have to try that. Although we don't have kayaks to rent, so we have to do it in Long Beach. I've done it there with people. I've done it with Raymond. Raymond guy's walkie-talkie soaked.
Can I rent a wetsuit? Do we need a wetsuit?
Well, the idea is you don't get wet.
Yeah, but you might get cold.
And in Long Beach, no. Once you start moving those arms, believe me, you don't get cold. And look, this is Southern California. They don't open up the rent thing till 10 a.m. anyway, so you ain't crack of dawn paddling like with Watt. It would be morning. And I tell you, once your arms get going, you're not for lacking. Some people think
this.
The same thing with bike riding, you know, that you're going
to
get all sweaty, but man, the wind blowing on you. So people are too afraid of cold or what. But every time you bring up paddling, they think you're going to roll over. Right, and drown. But especially in Long Beach where you rent these things, it's in a place called Belmont Shore, and there's an island in the middle called Naples, and it's a totally enclosed bay. So there's no waves. I mean, the only way you could tip over, especially if you get your paddle in your hand, it's like a balance bar, so you don't really have to worry. I swear. If you do it once,
I'll
you'll
do
see.
It. I'll try it.
It's a lot more calm than a canoe. Canoes tip over a lot easier. I've never yet...
Oh, yeah.
Tipped over, and I'm the most uncoordinated person alive. My mother got me clay as a boy because I'm such a spaz, she thought it would help my coordination. Obviously, it didn't. She had me building little models. Well, all this stuff to try to get eye to finger coordination. So I walked funny and stuff, and I got bad joints. That's the problem. But I'm pretty uncoordinated, too.
Yeah, I am, too.
And I'm just telling you this because... It's not so scary paddling a kayak.
Well, it sounds
especially
really
if I can
fun.
Do it. At first, you don't have the confidence, yeah, so it's kind of scary because you've never been in it.
Well, I did windsurfing.
That's a lot harder than kayaking.
It was
a lot harder.
Really fun.
You have to be strong.
Yeah, I wasn't that strong for it, but
Just standing up on them. I see them practicing down in Cabrillo.
Well, I didn't do it in the ocean. God, that's a different situation.
You didn't do it in the ocean?
I did in the lake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do it here when they're learning. They're doing it inside the breakwater. And just to get the standing up is so much.
I think they've got the dudes with the kites now going off.
Right.
Oh, I've seen those.
Wild.
Yeah. They do flips. They do it right off here.
Total air.
Right over here, block from Brother Matt's. Because the way the wind comes across the point is just perfect.
Wow.
In fact, windsurfing probably in a lake is maybe even easier because you don't have as big waves.
It wasn't hard. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, but in the ocean it's tougher because you're dealing mm-hmm. with waves and currents.
Yeah.
And with the paddling, I mean, I've been out in rough sea. Usually if it's rough, I don't go out. But I remember when I got my housing for my camera, I was very excited. I wanted to get pictures of them seals out in the one-mile buoy. So I'm going out there no matter what, man. And it was every wave was breaking over the bow and soaking me. Okay, hey, there's a bone phone, Brother Matt. So, but usually if it's rough, I stay inside the breakwater. In this place where you rent them in Long Beach, for you people don't know, Long Beach is a town next to Pedro, just east of us. In between us is Terminal Island. Did you hear about the container blown up yesterday? Dave Frans? Yeah, my guys were second men are longshoremen. They were working down there, and somebody had propane in a container, and it blew up.
Blew the lid off
at the docks.
At the docks? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then they couldn't find the manifest, so maybe a security problem. But I'm just glad my guys weren't hurt.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
So, you have a label.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's not my label.
You're part of a label.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to tell us about, like, what's its name?
Well, it's called True Classical CDs, and it's, like, mostly local bands from the L.A. area. We get together and meet and put out records. That's about it.
Yeah. But is there kind of a... You know, a theme to the label, kind of a credo, whatever?
Really vaguely.
There's like a committee that votes on what?
The theme of the label keeps getting tested at every...
Is it classical music?
No, it's not at all.
Is it true classical music?
It's like, that's like kind of a Steve from Waco, his joke on the real jazz label, I guess.
Yeah, so it's kind of a satire.
That was his idea of...
now the ding dong.
A little joke. But we kind of originally thought it would be good to have only records that had acoustic instruments on it, like traditionally classical instruments, but incorporated into different kinds of music. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we probably will end up putting out that doesn't really adhere to that. Like, Saccharine Trust is going to put out something with us.
That Ape thing that I played.
Yeah, and, I mean, Ape Has Killed Ape, their first record, they had a lot more non-rock stuff on it, and then their second release is a lot more.
The one I have,
you know,
is a
thrasher kind of Detroit.
Yeah, and their synthesizers. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's loose.
Okay. Whatever. So the name is a misnomer.
Yeah.
Misnomer.
We get.
What's it like running a label? You know, nowadays that almost anybody
hard.
Can start one, but
it's really hard. I mean. Yeah. We worked for a couple of years and didn't have distribution, and then we got distribution.
That's
so
the hardest part of it.
It's really hard now, because now you've got, like, all these things that you could do if you had the money to do, and you don't have the money to do, so you have to kind of be really creative. And, we're distributed through Burnside, and they do the national thing for us, but now we need money for the record stores and the retail end of it, and we don't really have it, so...
What about the internet?
We've got a website. Devin from Crib does our website. You know...
You want to give the link?
So we've got... Oh, it's www.trueclassicalcds.com. Just spelled normally. True Classical CDs.
TrueClassicalCDs.com.
Yeah. We've got some MP3s up there. And the label, I mean, the website, we sell quite a few records through that.
Yeah, so that's
course.
Something
you
that
know,
wasn't
it's
there
very,
in the old days
cool.
when me and Dee Boone started later.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was telling you about Bob Mould, we put out the first Tooth-Skidoo album in 1981. And the toughest part was distribution.
Yeah, you know, now we've got what we asked for, and we're like, what the hell do we do with it? And, you know, I know what we should do with it, but we can't really do that, so we have to be really creative.
Now, we're going to play something off your label here. It's Danny Frankel, who I saw last mm-hmm. week at the Hayden Sisters gig. And I hadn't seen Danny in a while. He's a drummer. He's played with a lot of cats.
He's amazing.
I think he's Silver Lake
he's,
or Echo
he's
Park.
Amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. This is Los Feliz, I think.
Los Feliz? Okay.
Yeah.
Close. And, God, he's played with Lou Reed. He's played with a lot of cats. Who's he playing with now? He's playing with some...
Frank, I think. Not Frank. K.D. Lang.
K.D. Lang,
with.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of like Frank. Canadian version.
Yeah, he's going to be on our next sampler.
I love Frankie.
Danny is...
Soft P, hard C. She goes back to Nervous Gender. I don't know if you know about that band. She's
I know,
the only girl
I know
to play in,
he's played a long time, though.
No, Frank.
Oh,
she,
Frank.
She was the only woman to ever play Nervous Gender, which was an intense band. In the old days, mass days. For a while there, they had a 9-year-old drummer from Sweden and got deported. Yeah, they were bizarre. I mean, they were one of the most intense bands for me coming from arena rock to see Nervous Gender. What was her name? The main guy died a couple years ago. He was an artist guy, Latin guy. Gerardo, I think his name was. Hmm. He's a very sweet guy. But they had songs like, Jesus Was Just Like Me, Another Cocksucker from Galilee. He's a homosexual nymphomaniac. I mean, I'd never seen people be so out. You know, I was a fan of glam and stuff. My first gig was T-Rex. But these guys were very upfront and confrontational. And it was intense for a guy from Pedro to see them. Made a big impression. And Frank, she used to sing a song with him called My Mommy's Chest. It was intense. The whole band, one of the most strange bands. But that's when you could go to a punk show and not really know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The bands, it was such an unpredictable genre at first. No one really knew what punk was supposed to be. You know, there's some pictures from people in England and stuff, but it was really a mind-blow thing for me. Had a profound effect. It was trippy, that gig with the Hayden girls. It was in Chinatown at this art gallery called Furthermore or something.
Yeah, Furthermore.
And I hadn't been in that neighborhood in over 20 years because where I parked my boat was right next to the Hong Kong Cafe, which was a trip. That's where I saw, I think one of the last gigs I saw there was the Germs on New Year's show.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in Chinatown now, I guess.
And it's not called Hong Kong Cafe now. It's called Sam Gage Company or something. Mm. It was trippy. I stood in the cart. It was in a courtyard, you know, part of Chinatown that's not streets. Little court thing. And I was just, all these memories came over me. I think I've talked about this on the show before, but I took L accidentally on purpose. Stripped my brains out. I was with Joe Biza. I remember, Baracho too, and I was only 22 years old or something, 21. And after the gig, I remember talking to Darby about Pedro. It was a really big thing for me to talk to people about Pedro because, you know, I came here when I was 10, and my whole world was Pedro, and here I go to this scene where, like, nobody knows about Pedro at all. You know, because L.A. is so big and spread out, and people had seen it on signs and stuff, but nobody really knew about it. I remember talking to Dario about Pedro and stuff. I even got him to yell it on the stage, and like I said, Baracho and not really together. But after the gig, Joe Biza took me to the Hong Kong Cafe, which used to be in Little Tokyo, and they service these eggs. I remember the eggs were really white with really yellow yolks. Maybe it was sunny side up or something. And it freaked me out, and I just hollered and ran. I think I left Joe Biza, I think. And so I get in my, I had a Volkswagen at the time, and I get in there, and it looked like there was about 12 layers of freeway. I didn't know which layer I was on. So I just pulled over on the side, sort of like the thing at the auditorium. I just pulled over on the side. This was on the Harbor Freeway, which in those days was just Route 11. It wasn't I-110. And I just pulled over there and, you know, tripped my brains out for like 6 hours. And, like, no police came by here or anything. We were just on the side of the road.
So you ditched Joe Biza at the...
I didn't really ditch him. I hollered and ran away. I became afraid.
I had an experience like that the last time I did that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think this was...
And I was in Japantown, too. And something about restaurants and acid. It's not a good mix.
Yeah, food.
No. Yeah. No, people and food and having to...
It was the second, because the last time I did it was maybe a year later at this desert gig where Einstein and Neubaum played. Maybe it was a couple years later. And... this German band that played Machines. And then Mark Pauline, the research people, came mm-hmm. and had these machines mm-hmm. that destroy
oh, yeah.
themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
20 shotguns. Yeah, it was really freak out on me, too. So I never did any more of that. It's been many years of that. But I had all those memories rush over me, just being there. Anyway, I saw Diane Franco. Yeah. And we're going to play a song by him called The Birdcage here. And you want to tell me something about this?
This is a record. This is called The Vibration of Sound. And it was Danny's first release on True Classical. And
oh, it's his
it's
a
really
whole
beautiful.
Album.
Yeah, it's got Woody Jackson, Joseph Hammer, Pablo Calojero.
Well, you know what? He gave me
Doug
an album.
Wieselman
that was,
and 11. Oh,
all about purple all right. or something.
It's also got zebra finches on
Do
it.
Do you know about this?
Hmm?
He gave me an album he made before. Almost every song had Jupiter.
Yeah, New Moon on Jupiter.
Yeah, and every song's got Jupiter somewhere in its title. Is that album after this?
That was before this. This is before he started working with us. I think that's his
Jupiter
record before this one, yeah.
Okay, so this is his first true classical record.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great record. I love
well, here's
record.
Danny Frankel and The Birdcage, Watt from Pedro Show.
Watt from Pedro show. That was Destroy All Monsters with Bored. I wanted to play Little Boyfriend, but it was song.
Drop the hate to kill each other. Now I think by following this approach, it will also help us to go into the new age that is emerging with the right attitude. Nonviolence not only calls upon its adherence to avoid external physical violence, but it calls upon them to avoid internal violence of spirit. It calls on them to engage in that something called love. Now I know it's difficult sometimes. When I say love at this point,
don't shake your ass when the night is so tied to the mast.
Thank you.
April 30, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. And starting with this show here, we're starting a new adventure with Jack Flanders. This is part one of Somewhere Next Door to Reality.
Yes?
Good morning.
Is it?
It's me.
And why is me calling this early in the morning?
Me thinks me needs your help.
Ah, Mojo. What time is it?
Time for a croissant.
Gosh, you get up so early. Where are you?
I'm here.
And I'm supposed to guess where here is?
If you think you're awake enough.
I could guess this in my sleep.
You think so?
Sure.
You're in Paris.
Hey, how did you do that?
The music, on the sound. Isn't that a bit obvious?
Yeah, I guess that was a bit obvious. But let me ask you this. Is it so obvious that you are so obviously wrong?
I am.
You got the right squeeze box, but you squeezed it into the wrong place.
All right. Well, how about Marseille?
Nice try, but no.
Are you calling from a cafe?
It's a club.
And do you have a gig playing piano there?
That's right.
And the name of this club is...
Lucky Pierre.
Why did I ask?
Okay, so you're not in France.
Not even on that continent.
But where you are, they speak French. Oui?
Oui, oui.
I doubt you're in Morocco or Algiers.
No.
So you're probably north.
Ah, you're getting warmer.
But not the North Pole.
That's way cold. And Eskimos don't speak French, but... wait a minute. Well, actually, there are a few that do.
You mean like up around Hudson Bay?
Ah, you're getting warmer.
You're in Canada.
Hey!
Quebec.
Hey, hey!
Okay. Then you're either in Quebec City or Montreal, right?
Mm-hmm.
My guess is...
Montreal.
Oui, oui.
Are you in the old city?
You Montreal? Oui.
So what's going on?
Man, you got a taste of croissants they have up here.
Well, I'd love to. How's the coffee?
Dark Frenchy roast.
So, why
are you tempting me?
There's some weird stuff going on up here.
Yeah? Like what?
Like people fading away.
You don't mean dying?
No, just fading away.
Mojo, what does that mean?
That means becoming transparent until they...
disappear entirely.
Transparent?
You can see right through them.
You don't mean psychically. You mean physically.
You can see right through their bodies.
What do you see?
You see what's behind them.
You mean as though they weren't there?
Yeah, except they are there.
Is it like seeing a ghost?
Yeah, except they're as real as you and me.
Have you asked them what's happening?
No. By the time you realize what's going on...
they've gone.
Just poof?
No, not like poof. It's more gradual.
Mojo, you're saying that they gradually become transparent until... until what? You can't see them anymore?
That's a theory.
Well, what do you mean?
I've never seen anyone just sort of slowly disappear.
Well, then whose theory is this?
My friend's.
And your friend is...
Dominique.
Ah. How French.
Yeah, there are a few of them around.
Yes, I know.
You've been up here, right?
Montreal, of course.
This time of year in the late summer, it's really pretty.
Yeah, swarming with American tourists.
Nah, not that many.
Okay, so tell me more about your...
your transparent friends.
Well, not everyone can see it happening, you know.
You know, speaking of you know, I'm on my way up there.
I figured.
Okay. Now back up and give me the specifics.
Well, there was this woman, Renee. She's like Dominique's best friend. She'd come into the club, and this one time I saw her sitting there, and then I looked over and she was like going in and out of focus.
But Mojo, you weren't seeing through her, were you?
I think she was flickering.
What?
You know, flickering in and out.
In and out of what?
Reality, man.
And whose reality is that?
You know, your everyday normal reality.
Mojo, there's nothing normal about reality.
I know that. I'm just talking about the reality most people think is real.
Okay, so give me your definition of reality.
You know the writer Philip K. Dick?
Yes, sure.
He said, reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away.
That's good.
I thought so, too.
Okay, so how many people have you actually seen flicker away?
Well, I haven't seen anyone flicker away, and I can't say I've seen anyone fade away either.
But they disappeared.
That's right.
Well, how many people that you know of have disappeared by flickering or fading or whatever?
I've only known one, but I've heard about a couple others disappearing that way.
So what happens? They just vanish?
Now this is where it gets really strange.
Stranger than this?
Oh, yeah. Dominique shared an apartment with her friend Renee. She said that a week after Renee disappeared, she began to notice things being rearranged in her friend's room.
You mean furniture?
No, little things. Personal items. Like her cigarette lighter wasn't there, and then it was there. And ashtrays were clean, and then filled with butts.
Oh, right. They do smoke a lot up there, don't they?
Well, of course. They're French.
Okay, go on.
So Dominique started to note where things were. And sure enough, sometimes Renee's keys would be there, and then they wouldn't. You know how that happens.
I do.
You set something down and turn around, and it's not there. Then an hour later, you look, and it's there. Why is that?
Good question.
Mojo, you saw one person flicker, but you've never actually seen anyone fade. So all of this is based on what your friend saw.
I saw through someone just yesterday, man. A woman. She was on the sidewalk across the street. The streets up here in the old city are narrow, you know. So across the street is pretty close.
Yeah, what happened?
I thought she was really good looking. Looking sharp. Nice dresser. That's why I stopped to sort of admire her, you know.
Mojo, just tell me what happened.
Well, there was a street musician. And as she passed him, she stopped for a moment, like, to say something to him. And while she was standing there,
I could see right through her.
You're certain?
Oh, yeah.
What did you do?
Well, it took me a couple of seconds to realize what I was seeing, and I stood there sort of seesawing.
What?
I was thinking, did I just see what I just saw? And by the time I realized I did see what I saw, he was gone.
God, just poof.
No, man. No one poofs around here. They puff a lot, but no poofs.
Okay, go on.
I figured she'd gone around the corner.
I walked up to the corner and looked up the street, but she wasn't anywhere.
So she vanished.
Well, there were some shops. There was a cafe, but I didn't see her in any of those.
So you definitely saw right through her.
Oh, yeah. That's what I saw.
I love this.
So, when are you going to arrive?
Well, looks like I'm getting close to the border now.
You should be here in about an hour.
Yeah, where will I find you?
Let's meet at the Café Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge?
It's on the corner of St. Paul and St. Vincent.
Ah, two of my favorite saints. Is that in the old city?
That's right.
Okay, listen, I'm about to cross over, so I gotta sign off.
I'll see you later.
Okay, ciao. Crossing borders always makes me nervous. Especially knowing they can detain you, strip search you, stand you on your head, do just about anything they want with their nasty little rubber gloves. Well, here I am.
Where do you live?
New York.
What's the purpose of your trip?
Vacation.
How long are you staying?
Well, just a few days, a week maybe.
Is there anything you'll be leaving in Canada?
No.
Have a nice time.
Well, thanks. It wasn't bad. Oh, well, I guess any country that has a big maple leaf on its flag has to be doing something right.
As Mojo predicted, exactly 1 hour later, Jack pulls up before the Café Moulin Rouge. Of course, there's nowhere to park, so Jack eventually finds a lot, pays the attendant an arm and a leg, and walks back to the café.
So, Mr. Mojo, I presume?
Pull up a chair, traveling Jack.
Hey, how are you?
Monsieur, qu'est-ce que vous désirez?
Cappuccino.
Yeah, cappuccino, okay.
Do they always address you in French first?
Oh, yeah. And if you answer in English, then that's what they'll use.
Huh.
French is the first language spoken here.
But you don't speak French, do you?
Very little. You know, there are Quebecers that live here, and they don't even speak it either. You can get by just fine.
Don't they say bonjour around here?
Salut.
I thought that was goodbye.
It's also hello.
You mean the same word means hello and goodbye?
That's right.
Hello, goodbye. It's very short conversation, Mojo. Oh, I wonder what people from Paris think of the French that's spoken here.
I'll tell you about it sometime.
Are there many Americans up here?
You mean tourists? Not really, but you can spot them right off.
Yeah, why's that?
Because they're the ones that talk real loud, like, do you speak English?
And what do they think of that up here?
Well, how do you feel when someone talks to you like you're some cretin?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I figured you would.
You know, it's been a long time since I've been up here. I like it.
I figured you would like it, too.
These old stone buildings, the narrow cobbled streets. I feel like we could be sitting in a sidewalk cafe in Paris. I mean, don't you feel as though you've stepped into a time warp and suddenly found yourself in some old European city?
I know what you mean. Stepping into old Montreal is like stepping through a portal and into another time.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Disney recreation without the lousy music.
Except that this is real. The people out there on the street and in those shops aren't actors. No one's pretending.
Mojo, you know we're all actors.
That's true. Everyone's playing some role or another. But most people don't want to admit that their reality ain't all that real.
Do you think it's a matter of not admitting it? I don't think people even know it.
You've got something there. In fact, I wrote down the thing I came across. Let's see. By not quite accepting, because they do not please us, things that are so, we spend our entire lives making meaningless gestures somewhere next door to reality.
Run that by me again.
By not quite accepting, because they do not please us, things that are so, we spend our entire lives making meaningless gestures somewhere next door to reality.
Who wrote that?
Someone by the name of Nanjing.
You know, it reminds me of something Mark Twain once said. It ain't what they don't know that hurts them. It's what they do know that ain't so.
That's a nice down-home way of saying just about the same thing.
Yeah.
Your cappuccino?
Oh, thank you.
Anything more?
Oh, no. This is fine.
7 or 8.
This is excellent.
I asked Dominique to meet us here.
Dominique. Sounds slightly French.
Yeah, there's a few of them around here.
You know, years ago, I traveled around Quebec province, and back then, out in the countryside, French is all they spoke. I was amazed at how many didn't know or even care to know English.
I know what you mean.
You know, it feels as if a chunk of Europe just broke off and floated over and attached itself to upstate New York.
Montreal also has a few black people. You notice that?
Yeah. I assume they're descendants from those that escaped slavery in the U.S. Probably came up to Canada on the Underground Railroad.
That's true of some. But a few years ago, they decided to allow people from French-speaking countries to emigrate to Quebec. So you'll see a scattering of black people from Haiti.
Haitians. Really?
Yeah, they speak French.
Well, of course.
We got some fine Haitian restaurants up here, too.
Really? Uh-oh, why don't we... Is that her?
Well, that's her. Dominique, over here.
How did you know?
It's easy. She looks French. I think it may be the beret she's wearing.
Hey, man, I know this great hat shop. We gotta go there and get us both berets.
Well, when in Montreal.
Salut, Monsieur Mongeau.
Salut. Jack, Dominique Bouchard. Dominique, this is my friend Jack Flanders.
Bien sûr.
Do
you not speak French?
Oh, poorly.
Sal Americain.
But Mojo doesn't speak French either.
No? Mojo. Tu me comprends, n'est-ce pas?
Why, sure.
Si.
Well, he may understand it, but he sure doesn't speak.
Franchement. For Mojo, you do not have to speak. You only have to look into his big, dark, gorgeous eyes. Yes?
Oh, come on, brother. Hey, you're embarrassing me.
I know. Garçon, un café et un croissant, s'il vous plaît.
Un numéro deux pour la grande dame.
Faites sa vie. Je suis pressé. Okay, guys. Let's get down to it.
Wait a minute. You just...
Yeah, I can talk just like you. So, what do you think?
About...
What's going on? Mojo told you.
You mean friends becoming transparent and then disappearing?
Of course.
Well, it's pretty far-fetched.
Isn't it? You know what I think? I think they are still here.
Here in Montreal?
Where else is here?
But you can't see them.
If I could, they would be real, right?
Well, even if you can't see them, it doesn't mean that they're not real.
Exactly.
Mojo, I think I need a little help here.
Well, I don't disagree with Dominique, but I don't agree either.
He doesn't know.
Well, that makes trois of us.
I think they're somewhere else. They may have crossed over, but maybe not totally.
Crossed over where?
Well, maybe through some opening, or maybe it's something like a portal, or maybe it's sort of...
What are your maybes, Mojo?
Maybe.
Well, then maybe that's what I'll call you, Maybe Mojo.
You can call me whatever you want, but when it turns out I'm right, what do you call me then?
I'll call you Mr. Damn Lucky.
She's impossible.
You think so, Jack? Am I impossible?
I don't know.
Oh, I see. We have an I don't know man.
A what?
I should have known. Maybe Mojo would call his friend I don't know man.
You don't know Jack.
Votre café et croissant, madame.
Merci. Avez-vous des confitures aux framboises?
Mais oui.
Is she always like this?
Sometimes she's worse.
Talking about me, are you?
Only when your back is turned.
Jack, you mind if I smoke, don't you?
Well, actually, if I have a choice, I'd prefer that you... Thanks.
You Americans are too obsessed with your health, no?
Oh, no, not obsessed enough.
You think so?
I read somewhere that America has the largest number of overweight poor people in the world.
Of course. Your food is your country. Fast, fat, and no taste. Do you agree, Jack?
Mojo, help me here.
Dominique. Jack's up here to help us.
So, you have questions?
Yes. Now, how many people have you actually seen fade out?
I do not like that expression.
Well, transparentize, whatever.
They do not fade.
They don't.
They fuzz.
Fuzz? You mean fuzzy out?
No, fuzzing out.
What does that mean?
Their edges, their outlines, become fuzzy.
So when you look at them, they become blurry?
Yes, but from the outside in.
You mean it's not something that's done to them? They do it to themselves. They become blurry.
Fuzzing.
Okay, fuzzing. And then what? They become transparent?
Exactly.
Mojo, is that what you saw?
Well, I suppose there was some fuzzing. But remember, what I saw only lasted a few seconds.
I'll bet they were fuzzing, but you couldn't see it.
Okay, fuzzing. But look, Dominique, we have a law of physics to consider here.
Why? Do the same laws of physics apply to every dimension?
I have no idea.
I think there's a portal, or an overlap, or maybe a crack in dimensions.
But is that what happened in the club when you were playing and saw... What's her name?
Renee.
Right. Saw Renee become transparent?
I'm just tossing out ideas here.
Look, what if she already was there, whatever there is, and was being projected back to here, back into the club?
Is that possible?
Of course.
Yeah, he's right. There's been cases of where someone like some Indian holy man projected an image of himself to other people, and they could see and talk to him, even though he's in some other city.
Or even another country.
Or in another dimension.
Well, that I'm not sure of.
It's being in two places at the same time?
Exactly.
I like that.
I told you he was good.
Passy Pierre. So, what do you need to know?
What happened to Renee?
We don't know.
Well, was she involved in some exotic cult, maybe? I mean, isn't there a cult up here whose followers believe Earth was seeded by aliens and, well, they'll live forever?
The Raelian movement. Rael is actually Claude Vorion, who was taken to the planet Elohim in a flying saucer and introduced to Jesus, Buddha, Joseph Smith, and Confucius.
Nice crowd.
As far as extraterrestrial religions go, I hear they're fairly benign, but they're kind of out there.
But Renee was not involved with the aliens or any cult. If she were, I'd know.
Well, tell me more about Renee.
She believed there was another city.
Another city?
Another Montreal.
Where?
Here, Vieux Montreal.
Another old Montreal. Where?
Right here.
I don't understand.
One day, Renee was in Place Jacques-Cartier, and she saw another city.
That's a square, you know. It's lined with cafes. Just a couple of blocks from here.
So the city just appeared before her?
Yes.
What did it look like?
It looked like Place Jacques-Cartier.
So?
It looked like Place Jacques-Cartier in Vieux Montréal.
Dominique, you're saying that the city looked like old Montreal, except it was different.
I see. Oh, no, I don't. Did this city disappear and she found herself walking in whatever it is?
No.
Apparently, it was like superimposed.
Ah. So she saw both cities at the same time.
Ah, that's right.
Did it ever happen again?
Yes. Two more times.
Always the same place?
No. Once by the Basilique Notre Dame. Another time while she was walking up the Lac aux Mines.
That's a street that runs down along the river by Old Port of Montreal.
So all of this happened within a few blocks of each other.
Vieux Montréal only has a few blocks.
Right. So what did Renee feel about what she was seeing?
She wanted to go there.
And you feel she succeeded?
Of course.
Why do you believe that?
She told me she could see people walking in the street that others could not see.
Aliens?
No. People from somewhere else.
You mean just walking among us?
Yes, except that she believed they could not see us.
Hmm. Was Renee psychic?
Yes.
Mojo, what do you think?
Man, I'd sure like to see that city.
But, Dominique, what makes you feel that Renee discovered a way to get into that city?
I saw her buzzing.
You could actually see through her?
Yes.
Well, did you ask her about it?
The first time. I didn't believe it. The next time, I asked her. She said she wanted to leave.
And that's all she said?
A week before she left, she said she'll be all right. Don't worry about her. Tell her friends.
Just tell them that she stepped across into this other city.
Yes. I told them, but they think I'm crazy.
I can't imagine why.
So, what will you do?
I think I need some time to think about this.
Okay. I have to go. Salut. À la prochaine.
Salut.
Whatever. Ciao.
That evening, Jack and Mojo go for a stroll in the Place Jacques-Cartier. This square slopes downward from Rue Notre-Dame to the old port of Montreal. It's quite a lively gathering place during the warm summer months. The square is lined with sidewalk cafes. There's art displays, street musicians, jugglers, all kinds of activities. And as Jack and Mojo stroll along, they even discover a Peruvian band, of all things.
they're a little far from a home, aren't they?
I don't know if the city brought them in or if they live around here. People think Montreal is all French. But you'll find people from everywhere speaking all kinds of tongues up here.
Yeah, but everyone speaks French.
No, man. There's Anglos living here that only speak English.
Really? Is that possible?
Sure. Like back in the early 1970s, they say only 40% of the Anglos living here could speak French.
Yeah, but most of them left for Toronto and other parts of Canada, right?
That's true.
So what about the separatists? Do you think they'll ever split Quebec from the rest of Canada and make it into a separate country?
It's looking less likely all the time because there's so many immigrants who call this home. The last time it came to a vote, it was mainly those non-French who voted against it. They're growing in numbers while the French are shrinking.
Well, why?
They move to other parts of Canada where there's more opportunities, especially for the young people.
Now, this is like out of some French film.
What's that?
Well, that blind man sitting over there playing his accordion.
Ah, I see him around now and then. I like his dog. He's real sharp.
Yes. A beautiful dog. A yellow lab.
Oh, yeah. They're fine. Yeah. Let me put something in his cup.
Mojo, you gave him a quarter.
No, come on. That was $2.
Mojo, I heard that clink. That wasn't $2.
Man, you don't know anything about Canadian money. Look, see this coin? That's a $2 piece.
Oh, very nice.
Listen. I got to get over to Lucky Pierre's and tickle some ivories, so you're on your own.
But I haven't even checked into my hotel. Where is it?
It's right down the rue here. St. Paul.
St. Paul is the hotel?
No, man. That's the rue you're walking on. The hotel is the Nelligan. Nice place. I booked it under your name. Stop by and see me sometime.
Hey, where's Lucky Pierre's?
Down in the cellar.
Where?
Ask the concierge. Salut.
Yeah. Well, same to you.
Bonjour. Puis-je vous aider?
I have a reservation. Jack Flanders, New York.
How many nights?
I don't know. At least a week, maybe two.
No problem.
Can you give me a no-smoking room?
The hotel is non-smoking.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I know.
Oh, yes, this is a nice room. Great view of the harbor, the river below. Not bad. So, Jack, people becoming transparent, fuzzing out. If it is true... And I think it is. Where do they go? Well, with a little luck, I just may find out for myself.
What from Pedro show. That was a couple of bands from Kansas. That right there was Slight Pieces from Manhattan, Kansas. A song called As If. And before that we had a band from Lawrence, Kansas called Chode with Who Got Ripped Off. Before that was Watts Train. Obviously, named in my honor.
Like the big train.
It was Todd Riggioni. Todd Riggioni used to be in Liquid Jesus, and he played a couple songs on the Ball Hog record, wrestling record. And had the cat from Soundgarden, you know, on the bass. What was his name? Shepard. Damn, I can't remember his name. He's a really cool guy. But, yeah, he don't have the names of the dudes. Or maybe he does. God, I can't read it. There's too many words. Sorry, spacing on the air there.
Pedro in the background.
And, yeah, I got some ambient Pedro sounds. Brother Matt getting ready for a big interview here.
Yeah.
We have a visitor.
Yeah, Silvana.
Yvonne?
Silvana.
Silvana. Yeah. Sorry. Lo siento.
So.
Yeah. Come over to the Pleasure Point in the Love Grotto. I'm going to spiel with Brother Matt for a counselor, right? Oh, yeah, we started off third hour here with a new adventure of Jack Flanders in Montreal this time. It was part one of Somewhere Next Door to Reality.
The show for Miami.
And it's only a four-parter, yeah. So this thing will be done by the end of the month, unlike some of our other adventures that have spanned across the months.
The first one took over a year, huh?
Yeah, which actually was the first one in 72, the incredible Fourth Tower Inverness. This one here was done in 2002. So Jack has had a long career.
Long career, yeah. Cool.
There's many adventures. ZBS Media, ZBS.org. You want to check it out. Very creative people. And Jack is one of their main vehicles to transport you into my movie land. Heather had to bail up north.
Yeah,
back to her parts. She has students. She teaches people violin, young people. What's that, Brother Matt?
It was cool having her down.
Yeah. Next time, bring the viola so she can jam with you.
Yeah.
She's part of that whole, there's a whole music scene up there, you know, that I'm not very in touch with. Sometimes I play with them, some of them, but interesting people. A lot of people, I guess they moved to L.A., and that's where they head for, because there's other artistic people or something. Other cats like us. Well, I didn't come from Pedro, but I got here early, so... Hey.
Homeland.
But we know the bottom line. It's not where you're from, it's where you're at.
So Flea got a music school up in...
That's right, Silver Lake. Conservatory. Uh-huh. He's got cats teaching young people. Mm. It's a great thing, the gift of music. Anyway, we're going to play something from Heather's, the label she's part of, True Classical CDs. This is kind of trippy. It's cats doing... Kurt Vile and you know Bertolt Brecht, this kind of thing, and Weeba, so a lady I've known a long time, she's involved with this too, so it'll be interesting to hear. This is the Sailor's Tango, What from Pedro Show.
We're sailing off to Burma this evening with enough good scotch on board to blow all the way. Plus a crate of great cigars, Henry Clay had it up to here with girls, so we're leaving, cause it's time to start a brand new day. Yes, it's time to start a brand new day. Now we don't ever smoke other brands of cigars, and this leaky tub will barely get us to Burma, and we don't need that dog who's those up there in the stars, and we don't need all these laws on terra firma. So, all right, goodbye, and the ship sails away, and it may reach Rangoon, and as for God, well, we don't get him. And it may be that God feels just the same about us, so let's hope he doesn't let it upset him. Yeah, all right, goodbye, we're off on the sea, and it's who gives a damn. Life's perfect, cause nothing is missing. And your dreams of glory, just take them and scram. The whole world's apart and we're fishing. Oh, the sea is blue, so blue. And all the world goes on its way. And when the day is over, we start another day. For the sea is blue, so blue, and that's how it's gonna stay. Ah, the sea is blue, so blue. Ah, the sea is blue.
A storm cloud to blow up.
Relax. There's the docks of Rangoon up ahead.
Hey, wait a minute. That's just a bank of black clouds in the air.
Jesus! And the waves are going crazy out there.
Jesus, in another minute, the whole lot of us will be.
Well, we knew we'd have to die somewhere. Yeah, we knew we'd have to die somewhere. Down goes the ship and soon the sea wash is over. Nothing but sharks down there to show a drum and the way. Scotch is no use to them or crates of Henry Clay. Where they're going, there are no girls who need a lover. They won't ever see another. Ship's going down, and as for a harbor, we don't get one. Just a wreck of a ship and a glimpse of a shore. But of course, one can't let it upset one. So, all right, goodbye. And for once, you don't hear all that big talk in the air. And the big talker suddenly looks smaller. And they're down on the knees and mumbling about their father who's up there, starting to weigh the sins their souls must bear. Tell you a fact that we all ought to know. When you stand before the throne where our Lord is sitting, you may have been bragging a lifetime or so, but now when it matters, you're shitting.
Oh, the sea is blue, so blue.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the Sailor's Tango by the East Side Sinfonietta. That's Sinfonietta. After that, we heard an excerpt from The Abstract Truth, a new track from Devin Zarno's Crib Project. Some funky stuff with the mic here, so had to make do. Much respect to Brother Matt for all the essentials. Assist, aiding and abetting, the spin cycle. Much respect to Brother Matt. Thank you to Heather Lockie for driving all the way down from Echo Park. Next time we'll have her back. Play some fiddle. That's going to do it for this edition of the Watt for Pedro Show, April 30, 2004 edition. Keep your powder dry.